Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside, oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Hello, hello. This is Jackie Wayans, your host, coming to you on Thanksgiving weekend. And I really hope you had a wonderful and blessed time, no matter what your situation or circumstance, that you were able to find something to be thankful for, something to be happy about, something to give God thanks for, because we all have, at the very least, one thing. I am so happy to do this show today because I have never had a comedian on the show. This is a first, and I had the great privilege of being put together with Nikita and another fabulous woman who I hope to have on the show in 2016. But we both share the same business coach, who is really wonderful. And she put us together, and Nikita truly, truly is funny. Nikita B. Williams, some of you may have seen her already through BET Network or Celebration of Gospel, but it is a beautiful thing to just hear her natural, raw, from the heart humor. And with her experience as wife and mother and even a preacher's kid, she has a lot to draw from, and she can actually speak to and capture any audience. It doesn't matter if you're corporate, faith-based, social events, you name it. She's hilarious. You'll love her. So I'm very thankful and happy to have Nikita with us tonight.
Baby, it was that next Sunday. We're going to call her Miss Lucy. Miss Lucy came to church. Her dress was this big. She sat on the front row with one leg as far as the east is from the west. Baby, he ain't never struggled so hard trying to read the scripture. He came out, he was like, those of you that have your Bibles, that's how they have to say it. He said, turn with me to Psalms 20:3. She was sitting over here on this side. The Lord tried to get him not to look. You know what I'm saying? He was like, the Lord is my shepherd. And he'll look up. I shall not want. He kept reading and kept looking up. Baby, he got on down that scripture. He said, surely goodness and Lord have mercy. I was right behind her. She didn't know I was there. She's talking about some pastor ain't paying no attention. I said, honey, how can he when you sitting there with the gates of hell wide open? Then they asked, do anybody have a song? Of course, she felt something in her spirit. So she got up before the whole congregation of people. It wasn't but 25 of us. And she was doing her little rock. And she told a lie that most people say before they start singing. She said, this my testimony. Out of all the songs she could have sung, somebody asked me what. I'm glad y'all asked. She said, give myself away so you can use me. Baby, the deacons got up. The whole front row was up. She done forgot what she was. Running back to you. Baby, they making it rain in the church. They throwing their wallets on the altar. I said, somebody need to get her and set her down. The head digging somebody, no, no, let the Lord use you. Have your way, baby. Have your way. Baby, we raised $5,000 and didn't have but 20 people in the church. Yes, the Bible says your gift will make room for you.
Welcome, Nikita B. Williams, to Don't Give Up Radio. Welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's a privilege, and it's a blessing. I already set you up, and I told them all about you, and just can't wait to really hear your story, not only the comedy, but where the comedy comes from, you know, where it stems from. And, you know, we all know that you're funny here today, and I'm just curious to know, was laughter always a part of your life? Was it a part of your home growing up? Where did the funny come from?
Yeah, it's always been a part of my life. My granddad, my mom's father, was very comical. It was always a good time there. And you know how everybody have two sides of the family. You have, you know, one side that's saved and one side that's not. And, you know, you usually would go to the, one household on the holidays first and then go to the other, so you would visit everybody. But, you know, it was prayers on one end and partying on the other one. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you just always knew how to keep people smiling, keep them laughing. And my mom, she had a great sense of humor, and so does my dad. So, I mean, it's just in me.
That's great. And, you know, coming off of this Thanksgiving season, I know a lot of people can relate to that. It's just, you know, I visited a house myself. It was just hilarious. I mean, just funny. And, you know, you just kind of either are laughing at the joke or you are the joke. You just have to be
right.
careful what side of the fence you are definitely going to be on. So we can all relate to what that is like. You mentioned your dad. You're actually a preacher's kid. Tell us a little bit about that growing up.
Oh, yeah, I'm a preacher's kid. Actually, my dad accepted his call in the ministry after I had moved out and was on my own. But even throughout my childhood and my teenage years, I didn't understand it as, you know, the spiritual aspect of it. I just knew he was different. It's like something wrong with him, something different. Like he's just a different type of guy. You know, the things he did, the way that he responded, and the way that he was just able to always give you a sensible answer. Like it was so not easy to ruffle his feathers. He just always had this calm about him. And, you know, my dad was a very strict guy. You know, I didn't even know he knew how to laugh until I was, like, older and out the house. I was like, do he smile? You know,
yes.
Because he was just
yes.
that type of guy. So, yeah, I'm definitely a preacher's kid. He's the pastor, and my mom, she was a minister.
Oh, okay. All right, I see. So did you grow up going to church always in Sunday school and staying there during the week and all that stuff?
Oh, my God, I couldn't wait to get old enough not to go to some of them services. I was like, I said, okay, yeah, no, that's too much. We were always in church, always. I was like, it can't require all this. But my dad, he was just a faithful member. He was a faithful member and a faithful servant. And, you know, him and my mom, they had two different paths in life. And my mom, she got saved. And, of course, as we say in the country, came on the Lord's side. But, even through it all, my dad was always consistent with what he did and his expectations of us.
And how many of them were you? How many siblings do you have?
Well, now I have an older brother and an older sister. I had a younger brother as well, but we lost him to a car accident.
That's very unfortunate. You know, it's amazing. I was actually sharing some time talking to my mom and even some of my classmates that I grew up with that are just no longer with us. And so
mm-hmm.
I realized very much that life is a gift, and when you're younger, you don't necessarily look at it that way until
right.
you start the losing process, and then you start to realize, you know what, this really is a gift.
You're exactly right.
Talk to us about that turning point for you, because I've had guests on the show that talk about they couldn't wait till the moment where they could choose when they wanted to go to church for themselves or even if they wanted to go for themselves. When you had that freedom, when it finally came your way, what did Nikita choose? What did your lifestyle look like?
Well, actually, I literally stopped going to church, period. I didn't go to, you know, go to church on Sundays and then I would skip Bible study, I would do this. Nah, I went to the left. I was that child that I knew the right way. I was raised the right way. Had a lot of unfortunate things happen, experienced a lot and saw a lot. But even in the midst, I knew, you know, the right way and what to do, but I just chose to see if there was any other options out there. See, was there something better? You know, see what this thing is that they try so hard to keep you from. So I'm that person that understands when a parent says, you know, I'm pouring out into them and I'm praying that they come back and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm an advocate to let them know, don't stop praying, because I too was once your child. And I ended up having to turn around and come back and see all of the things that my parents told me and could hear their voice when I was in bad situations that I put myself in. Some I put myself in, some I didn't. But, you know, the word is true. When he said, you train them up. So when they depart, you know, they won't stay away from it. So he didn't say if, he said when. He knew that, you know, some children would choose to go the opposite way, but he gave us that that consolation to let us know that when they do, they'll come back if you do this. So my parents did that if. They did that, and that's how I was able to recognize it once I finally hit the last brick wall to, you know, come back in.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but what you're saying is so relatable. I'm a mom. I have a 22, 21-year-old and a soon-to-be 20-year-old, and they were definitely raised in the way. In fact, they couldn't get rid of me. I was their PTA president. I was their youth leader. I was just everywhere. They couldn't turn. I was at home
right.
When they got home from school. There was no missing me. And so, you know, they're in that phase now where they think they were missing something, you know, and they want to check it out. But they know. They know who God is, and I am so centered in myself. All those prayers that were laid down, there's no way in the world. I'm like, you know,
right.
You will definitely be following and completely pursuing. But you have to have that belief and not get discouraged by what you're seeing in the moment of time. On this show, you know, we really try to keep it real and talk to people about the process, because we often hear, you know, I was here and now I'm here and all is well and all is glorious. And the person, people who are listening, they really want to get there. Not that there actually is a there. We'll talk about that a little later. But they want to get to that better place, but they don't
right.
know how. And remember, when I was in the process, I did not know how. So when we come back, we're going to talk to you about that brick wall experience and how you were able to realize that it was time for you to come on back.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
We're back with Nikita B. Williams, and we're about to find out about her journey, because we all have journeys that we go through. They're not the same, but we can really understand that God is the same. He's never changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he has made promises to us about never leaving us, never forsaking us, if he's made promises that, you know, to parents specifically, to say that if you train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they are older, they will not depart, that we can hold on to that and believe that. And Nikita, you definitely decided you were going to depart, and you know, are out there, you're living your life. And like you mentioned, you know, there were some bad situations. Some of them you brought on yourself, and some of them it's just life happens. But talk to us about that final situation that kind of got you to say, you know what, I need to change directions. Really paint a picture of what it was.
The thing that when I hear that, the first thing that happened, and even when that first thing happened, I made that decision, I ended up going back, that back and forth. So the first thing that happened was when I was in an abusive relationship. I was in an abusive relationship where both physically and emotionally, and it got to the point where I was afraid. I was afraid not to leave. And then it escalated to the point where I was hospitalized, and I ended up having a fractured jaw and other injuries, and my children witnessed this. And I still stayed. And even though I still stayed, you know, the children were there, then outside influences started. And my children were taken away from me. Fortunately, my mom was the one that was able to get them, but it was the point that they were removed from the home, and they were down there with her. I had to, you know, have certain things in place before I could get them to come back home and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that was a jug for me. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to make better decisions, bring my children back, bring my family, so I could have my family back. But even after I did that and I got my children back, then I became bitter. I became angry. And I had all these mixed emotions because I was finding every opportunity to identify where people didn't do what they said they were going to do on my behalf. Where were you when I went through? Where were you when this was going on? You know, so it turned from being grateful that I had them back to being bitter because I found that I was going through it alone in my mind. So I turned my back again, and I began to just live my life. I wasn't communicating with family. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. I was like, you know, I have my prayer life, and that's good enough, that type of thing. But then whenever I lost my brother, and we talking about someone who was always together with us, a family was very close, and we reported him missing at the age of 25. Of course, when you over 18, they like, you know, you can't report anybody missing. This boy's over, he's 25, he's where he want to be. But because our family was so close, because they knew the relation that we had, when we told them, no, this is our brother, this is Shot. And when it dawned on them who it was, God intervened. They was like, no, he wouldn't do this. I'm talking about on the news, in the paper, they put it on blast. We searched for him over a month. We searched for him over a month. Still did not find him. And we made it up in our minds, you know what, God? He spoke to us. He was like, change your prayer. That's when I knew that he was gone. I was like, okay, I'm going to stop praying for him to come home, God. I'm a nurse. I take care of him. Mama's really going through it. Daddy, he going through it. And we changed our prayer and said, you know what, God? Give us closure. Don't let us be one of those people that you see on TV every year after year. They asking for questions and they don't have closure. Give us closure, and we're going to stop looking. We're going to put it in your hands. That very next day, his body was discovered. When that happened, it jugged something down deep on the inside of me. And I knew then life was definitely a gift. It's nothing to be played with. The little petty stuff that you keep from speaking to people for and all this other stuff, it just was not worth it. Thank God we were on good terms. Thank God we had a good relationship. But what if we didn't? And my last conversation was literally the last conversation. So because I didn't want to get caught in that type of predicament, because I didn't want to get caught in a way where my last may not be the most pleasant and the most memorable, I made a conscious decision that when I came back on the Lord's side, this time I was going to stay.
You know, you've said so much in such a short period of time that is so impacting and powerful. I could only imagine what your families were going through. And it's amazing to me how God hears our prayers even when we're distant from him, you know, and even when we are, you know, being a little on the rebellious side, because he knows our hearts and he knows how to draw us close to him. And just going back to just the first time, as you were saying, you know, your kids were taken from you and you realized you had to get yourself together. You used that phrase. And I know that there are many people who are listening who are saying, God, I hear you pulling on my heart. I hear you calling me. I want to come. I just need to get myself together. And to them, I want to tell you, that's the whole reason why he came in the first place, because we can't get ourselves together on our own in our own strength. When you do it on your own, that's where the bitterness and the hardness and all these other dysfunctional behaviors come in, because you're trying to patch yourself up. But God is the only one who can make you completely whole. And I always talk about Romans 10 and 9 on the show, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And that's where the relationship starts. That's where he's able to start to now communicate with you and you with him. And you can have prayers answered, and you can see him start to move in your life. And life doesn't mean it's going to be perfect and smooth sailing. It's not. In fact, as we continue to talk, Nikita, we'll hear that you actually experienced more loss, more tragedy, but this time you were given a grace to handle it, a grace to go through it. You mentioned your mom having your kids for a period of time. Was your relationship with your mom always good?
No, it was not. And it wasn't good at the time that my kids were at our home. We didn't have a, I would say we didn't have a functioning relationship. We had the type of relationship where, you know, just being transparent, my dad, at times I know he felt like he had to choose between my mom and myself. And I know that, you know, he was put in the middle oftentimes, you know, because I'm feeling like I'm not being heard. She's feeling like she's not being respected. You know, we would go, we would bump heads, and my sister, of course, would, you know, this is your mama you talking to. So then you got the older sister wanting to play mama, and then I ain't trying to hear that either. So, you know, I was just, every which way that I could be defiant, that's what I was doing. I wasn't trying to listen to nobody. And in my mind, you helped them take my children instead of me seeing that the children were not in a good situation. My heart space was, the children are all I have. You've taken from me all that I had, and not being mentally capable of seeing that the best thing was to separate them from what I didn't have strength enough to get out of. So, no, we didn't have a good relationship at that time. We didn't.
And, you know, I want to have you back again to just go into the abuse piece, because that's huge, and I think in the body of Christ we still are not doing enough to help one another through that crisis, and it's still going on way too much, but that really is a show within itself that we can prepare for. But so now your relationship with your mom isn't really good. How did you, when did that mend? Did it mend? How did it mend?
Oh, yeah, it definitely mended. You know what? Everything in my life, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, everything in my life that wasn't right, that was still shaky, that I needed to make amends with, all of that happened within 24 hours of my brother's body being discovered.
Wow, so really the shift had to just occur in you, and once that happened,
exactly,
you were able to, wow, talk to us about it, just unravel it for us.
Right. This is a thing that you have to remember. Things will not change until you change. Even if you feel like, well, I'm not the one that's doing certain stuff, I'm not the one that's acting this way, I'm not the one that's doing it, this person needs to do X, Y, Z. Well, guess what? Things still will not change until you change. Until you change your approach and change your response, things will never, ever change. If you continue on doing things the same way, you're going to continue on getting the same response. So if your way of communicating is yelling, going off, cussing people out, doing whatever, guess what? You're going to get that response. But when you, because I was a cusser. Oh, my God. If they gave a degree in it, I would have a doctoral. I'm telling you. I would have a doctorate in it. So the thing was, when I stopped yelling, stopped cussing, stopped doing all that stuff, and then I just became quiet. A person don't know how to read you when you're quiet, because they're used to you going off. I changed the way that I responded. Instead of me going off on a person and telling them everything they wasn't and everything they would never be, I attacked the issue and not the person. Instead of telling that person all these negative things about them, I said, you know what, when you did X, Y, Z, it made me feel like this. I didn't appreciate when you did X, Y, Z, because then it made me go through this. So a lot of times people don't know why you're going off. They might know what they did, but they don't know why you acting that way. That's why people say, now I understand that this happened, but she went off way too bad. They don't understand your why. And that's the issue that I had. They didn't understand my why. They knew what, but they didn't know why. So when I was able to tell them, look, I understand what happened. I understand that the kids was in the situation, but I didn't understand why, even after you removed them from the home, you didn't let me know that that's what was being done. You didn't let me know. We still love you, but right now you're not having sense enough to see this, this, and this. It was done in silence, so in my mind it was done behind my back. I didn't understand their why. And that's what a lot of other people's problems are. They know what, but people just don't get their why.
You just articulated that for somebody who did not know how to say it for themselves. I feel that thing right there so much. Wow, you're full of wisdom. You're full of wisdom. And, you know, we love, you know, people use that and they mean it as a compliment, and it is. But there is a price to pay for attaining that wisdom. So what were some of the first things that you actually did to reconcile with your mom?
the first thing that I did was apologize. I apologized to her because I knew the right way. I knew what to do, but I didn't do it because I was so upset that I didn't feel like I had to. I felt justified in what I was doing. So just letting her know that I was sorry, I wanted to start over. I wanted us to mend. And then to see how broken she was to lose my brother, it was no room for any foolishness at that time. It just wasn't. I wanted her to know that, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I got you. And because she was going through so much and she was hurting so badly, I went over and beyond to let her know I'm here. What do you need? What you need me to do? I love you. You know, just pouring that love on and just letting her know that we're going to get through this and just being there every step of the way. And somebody may have not went through a loss as hurtful and as painful as an unexpected death or a death. If you don't know what to do, a lot of people say, well, just don't do nothing. No. When you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, you just tell them, I'm sorry. I love you. I want us to move forward. Even if you don't know how to move forward, you know you want to, so you let them know your what. I want to move forward. Let them know your why, because I don't want us to stay this way. I don't want us leaving the earth and one of us left behind having these mixed emotions and mixed feelings. I want things to get better, and that's what I did. I told her, I'm sorry, I love you, I want us to move forward. How can we build from here? But then, like I said, too, I had a mom that was willing. She wanted to move forward. She was tired of all the back and forth and all this because it wasn't anything but ego. It was pride that was setting us apart. Because deep down on the inside, we both loved each other. You still couldn't say anything to me about my mom. I don't care how bad we fell out. That's still my mama. You know what I mean? You know, you have some people out there, you can say something about their loved one, their mom, their whoever, and they wouldn't care. They'll join you. We weren't at that point. Never gotten to that point. So just being able to just let your guard down and be open and be transparent. I'm sorry. I love you. I want to move forward. Those three statements, you don't have to go in detail of it. You don't have to go through all of, dissect the thing. Whenever you sorry for what? Whenever somebody start doing that and they start dissecting, they're not ready to receive you yet. And be okay with them not being ready to receive you yet. You just know that at that time they're not open, but that doesn't mean they'll always be closed either.
Right. You just show yourself to be consistent and
that's
keep
right.
loving on them. And the love will wear things down eventually. And it's, you know, it's easier said than done, but I'm telling you, it does absolutely work. I can attest to it myself. It's not easy, but love does conquer all. It really does. So now, fast forward in time, and your mom actually became ill, and you lost your mom. Talk to us about that.
Well, my mom was diagnosed with triple-negative breast cancer, and whenever we went to the doctor and she was examined and we was looking through, and he told us it was stage 4. And when they told us that it was stage 4 and we went to, you know, specialists, you know, we went and, you know, we saw other help and other people, and they told us, you know, she has 6 months to live. And of course, as believers, you know, we heard the report, but you know, we grew up with whose report will you believe? And you know, you gotta you don't speak stuff like that. You gotta claim something different. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. And I agree with that, and I still believe him to be a healer. But 6 months exactly she took her last breath. So what do you tell a person who was believing? What do you tell a person who knew the scripture, who professed what they mouth? What do you tell the person that believes that he's going to heal and then healing didn't come the way that you was believing for? What do you tell that person? I was that person. I was a depressed Christian. I was somebody who believed and felt like I was defeated and let down because my mama is gone. That alone had me to a place where I became isolated. I didn't want to be bothered with anybody. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do anything because I felt like I was let down. And then it was through prayer, through me asking why, because I didn't understand and didn't know and was confused And he answered me in prayer. He said, I heard your prayer, but I answered hers. And when he revealed that to me, I was able to let go. Because I knew that he gave her what she wanted. A lot of times we pray for a thing or we pray for a person and we don't take time to find out their why. I knew it was cancer. I knew she was going through. But I didn't know why she didn't want to stay here. She was tired of hurting. She was tired of going through. She had a father that went on. My baby brother had went on. She was ready to give up the ghost. She was ready to go. Her why... It was at the point where she wanted a better quality of life. I just wanted her living. And as a nurse, I know the difference between the two, but that was my mama. And I just did not understand it. It just didn't make sense to me. But you have to take yourself out of things. Whenever you start thinking about me, I, and everything is all about you, that's when you know you're not in his will. Because he put us here to be a blessing to somebody else. He put us here to serve for other people. He put us here to exalt him. So when everything is about you, you have to check yourself.
Ooh, my goodness. I want you to say something. I want you to speak to people who are listening who may be mourning or who have already lost someone. And people on the outside are looking and saying, hey, it's been a year, it's been 3 years, it's been 5 years, whatever. You know, get over it, move on. But they still have these moments of mourning where life just takes them by surprise and they remember something or smell something, or it's the holiday season like we're going through now. Like my own kids lost their grandmother last year, and it's still a very bittersweet season for them. So talk to them about how to really get through that.
And you use the perfect word, is how you get through it, not over it. Because let me tell you something, it's been 5 years since I lost Mama, and this year was as hard as the first year. Last year wasn't as bad. This year, I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened, but it seemed like I came encountered with a woman that would wear one of the favorite perfumes that I used to like to smell on Mama. It was a woman that came through that her voice reminded me of. Another lady, posture reminded me of. It was just like, what in the world? And people will always tell you, well, it's been long enough, so you should be over it now. You don't know the relationship a person had. You don't know the circumstances. What I will say is this. When you're not dealing with it, whatever you don't deal with deals with you. Whatever you don't allow to process within you. And as a nurse, I can tell you that if you don't deal with it and it deals with you, that's where the sickness comes. That's where cysts comes. That's where cancer comes. All these other negative attributes, because he already told you that he will get you through. He will be your peacemaker. He will be your mind regulator. And when we keep these things bottled up and we don't give it to him, we go through all these negative things. But how do you do that? You do it by when you feel like crying, cry. When you feel like laughing, laugh. When you miss them and there's certain music or certain songs that y'all used to really enjoy, play the music. You do what you have to do that is going to get you through at that certain time. But any time that you spend too much time with balling it up and all that other kind of stuff, it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for you to continue to go year after year after year without coming in contact with it and dealing with it. You got to let this stuff out. He said there's a season for everything. There's time to laugh and time to cry. There's time to mourn. There's a time for all of these things. So it's okay. Your season may have not been last year. It may have been this current year where you needed to get it off of. If you need to do whatever you had to do in order to get through it, because even today, before, you know, I got on the station with you, I had a terrible day. I had a terrible day because I went through something, another tragedy, just the day before yesterday. And then Thanksgiving was yesterday, and now we're in holidays, and I'm already going through things, you know, with my mom or whatever. But guess what? That's how the enemy operates. If he can get your mind, he can control everything else about you. So the only way that you will be able to be consistent with moving forward is even through the tears, know and understand that you're going to get through this. I'm having a bad day today, but tomorrow is going to be better. Lord, I thank you for the memories that I have. I thank you for the joy that we experienced. You know what I started doing? Instead of thinking about she suffered, she was hurting, she had cancer, she lost weight, she lost her hair, she did. No, I started thinking about the time when I did go and see her and we laughed, we listened to music, she got her favorite food, the memories that we have. I start replacing those negative things with the positive. And when the enemy try to pull your heartstring and try to force you to remember the things that's going to get you down, I automatically recognize him because he has no new tactics. He's ignorant. He does the same thing over and over again. He just used different people. I recognize that, and then I start thinking about the wonderful things that we've done, the great memories that we had, the way that the Lord gave her a sweet hour. She didn't suffer. She inhaled. Well, one last breath, and she exhaled it, and that was the end. She wasn't yelling out in pain, agony, and all those other things. So I think about those things. I think about the prayers that he answered when my dad went to the throne. He said, God, give her a sweet hour. Let her body not feel any hurt. Let her not go through the transition that we know some have went through. Take her in peace, and that's what he did. That's how I was able to get through it. So to the ones who are going through, the ones who are suffering, the ones who, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, I don't know what I'm going to do, you're going to do whatever it takes to get you through that terrible moment that you may go through. And there may be more than one, but guess what? You'll continue on doing it until you get to the next level. Surround yourself around people who can speak positive to you. Surround yourself around people who don't want you in that low place, who will reach out a hand to help pull you up. That's what you have to do. When you isolate yourself, you're giving the enemy a playground that he does not need and that is none of his because he's already defeated. But when you isolate yourself, you laying down and giving him the advantage to come and attack your mind and your body, and you don't want to do that.
Absolutely. You're saying it. I told you, I named this show Comedy After the Comeback. We're going to talk a little bit about where the comedy actually came in.
You thought I was worth saving.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
Okay, and we are back with Nikita B. Williams, who's known for being a comedian. And I know this has been very heavy and very deep, and I thank you even for sharing in the midst of all that you are going through right now, and allowing God to use you even in the midst of your own storm. What I find very interesting about your story is that you said you didn't really find your comedy voice until after your mother passed away.
That's right. I used to tell people all the time, and even my dad, I said, see, Daddy, y'all used to whoop me for doing stuff like this. Now people pay me for doing it, you know, because I was always that silly one, or the one that, you know, we laughing, we cutting up, we doing all these things or whatever. But, you know, I was just that person. But I never in a million years thought I would be a comedian. I always knew that I would be before a lot of people. I knew that I would speak, but I didn't know how or what capacity. I just always told the Lord, please don't call me in the ministry. That's what I used to tell him. I said, Lord, I don't want to be no preacher, Jesus. I want to be able to tell people that they silly if they get on my nerves. You know, I did not want it to be that. But what happened was this. After my mom passed, I told you my dad is a pastor. My dad was going through. He was depressed. Mom is all he knew. You know, and I said, I want to do something for his birthday so he won't be depressed and he won't be down. This is his first birthday without her. So I planned a comedy show. I hired a comedian to come in. We set it up. And at this show, I performed as well, but I was in character. And I was in character as Sister Eminem, but you pronounced it, right? So we cut up. We had fun. We enjoyed ourselves. And at the end of the show, I had this lady that asked me, could she get my booking information? And I was like, ma'am, I didn't even know I was bookable. I mean, I don't know what you want me to do. She said, I want you to do she said, I want you to do just what you did up there. So, of course, I was in character, so I didn't want to go out and look ridiculous in public. So I went as myself. I said, nah, I'm not going to do it. And then I had a friend. They always encouraged me. They were like, Nikita, look, you need to go to the comedy spot in Charlotte. And it was not at a church. I did not start as a Christian comedian. I was always a clean comic, but I didn't start like in a church or at, you know, wherever they consider clean comedians to go. I went to a comedy club, and when I went, I told the people I was working with, look, I'm going and I'm going to perform. Y'all come with me. 50 people came. They didn't believe I was going to do it. They just came to support me. The next time, it was like 75 or 80 people came. Both times, I got a standing ovation. I got a standing ovation. It liberated me. I felt wonderful. I was just telling the truth about the things that I was going through. And it was literally at that point when I was on stage, from then until now, I haven't stopped. I can count the weekends or the times that people hadn't requested me or didn't want me to come, or people reaching out to me wanting to know my availability and different things like that. It literally was birthed from me performing, trying to keep my dad's spirits up, and that's when I discovered my purpose. I knew then that I was put on earth to let other people who are hurting know that there's still joy down on the inside of you. There's still a reason for you to pursue. You still have purpose within you. No matter what life does to you, how life beats you up, there's still a purpose down on the inside of you for you to move forward. And that's what I do. Even when I go to comedy clubs, even when they're selling liquor, I don't drink, I don't cuss, but guess what? I can remember that Nikita we talked about earlier on here, the one that was out taking the world by storm, doing whatever I wanted to do. I needed a Nikita in my life back then, but I didn't have one. So I make it my business to be somebody else's Nikita, to let them know, I see what you're doing, but he still wants you. He still loves you. He waiting for you. Somebody needs to know that he's, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel, no matter how worthless you feel, he has so much purpose down on the inside of you that you hadn't even tapped into. But he's willing and he's waiting on you. You left him. He didn't leave you. And that's what I was going through. I felt like, you know, he left me, and he not going to want me, and all the time, he's still standing where I left him at. So when I go on stages, even at the comedy spots, it doesn't matter where I'm at. We cut up, we laugh, we have a good time. But at the end, I make sure that they give you the light when you have 2 to 3 minutes left. When they give me the light, I quickly transition to something serious and let them know that God is still able, that he waiting on them. And people forget that they were even at a comedy club. I told them, I know I done messed y'all high up because y'all can't even get your drink back. But I just want you to know that he loves you, you know. And they receive that. But see, I had to be strategic. Because you can't start off like that, because then they're looking like,
right,
what is
right.
she doing? But
yeah,
just to get in there. But,
yeah,
because when a person is laughing, they're listening. They're open.
Right.
They're willing to receive. They want to know, what is this girl going to say next? And they don't expect it. But because we serve a God that knows our expected end, he has me as a conduit to go in. They don't know what to expect, but we know that at the end, it's an expectation for them to know that he's waiting, that they still somebody, that they still have purpose down on the inside of them that they need to pursue. So that's what I continue to do. I tell them I'm their purpose partner. That's what we do. We laugh now, might even cry a little bit, but at the end you're going to know that they still enough down on the inside of you for you to continue on.
Wow, this is the Nikita B. Williams show. I'm just sitting here listening to you. This is awesome. No, because, you know, a lot of people know by now that comedians, especially the best ones, have experienced, you know, pain and suffering, and they're able to channel that and make light of it. You know, my last name is Wayans, and the Wayans family, you know, they're known for that. They shared on Oprah, you know, their hard days and their how hard it was growing up, how poor the family was, and you know, they've been able to really make a name for themselves in the industry. What you're saying, though, is extremely powerful, because your goal, and you are a minister, you are a pastor, you're just doing it through comedy. You're doing it through comedy. Tell us about, well, you know, I'm saying tell us about, but tell us about Because I Am Somebody, and what motivated you to do that, and even say the acronym for us and just take us into that.
Okay. Growing up, like I'm 5'10", flat footed, as they say. So when I wear heels, I'm 6'2". They call me 6'2" a comedy, or either they call me the first lady a comedy. So, you know, I'm recognized now for the things that used to have me cowering down in corners and not going before people, because I was slim, dark skin, a very tall girl, didn't have the confidence that I needed, went through low self esteem, went through depression, all of those negative things, anything that the enemy could do to keep my mouth closed, to keep me from being the person that I'm paid to be now. He did that. But he did that in the form of me having low self-esteem, me being depressed, me going through all of these things. So I always found a reason why I couldn't do something. I always found a reason why I wouldn't be able to accomplish something. And whenever I lost my mom, and I was going through, even with the comedy, people were calling me. I was highly requested, still am to this day. But I started feeling bad, and I was like, I don't know why they want me to go. I don't know if I'm going to be funny. I don't know if they're going to receive me. I had these things that I was battling in my mind, and I was asleep. And I was praying, and I was missing Mama, of course, because instead of me being happy about going on these huge stages and going before people, the enemy, he planted in my head, yep, your mama never got to see you go on stage. Your mama never got to see you perform. So now I'm crying in my own self-pity, like, Mama never got to see me. I miss Mama, Lord. I wish she was here. I'm going through all these things. Then I'm going through, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. I was asleep. I laid down as I went and cried myself asleep another night, and I could hear her talking to me, and she was like, you done forgot who you are. You gonna do this. You can do this. Don't you ever forget what I told you. You are somebody. And I was like, yeah, I am. Yeah, you did. You know, it was like literally a dream that I was having with me having a conversation with her, and I wrote on a piece of paper beside the bed, Because I Am Somebody. And I went back to sleep. And when I woke up, I seen that. I was like, Because I Am Somebody. And I circled the first letter of each of the words, and it spelled the acronym BIAS, B-I-A-S. And the word BIAS, it was what I've always went through. I was overlooked because of something else. I was overlooked because I was a female. I was overlooked because I was African-American. I was overlooked and picked and chose over in different areas of my life and relationships, friendships, and all these other things because people had a bias against me. So I decided then I was going to use this thing that is negative, that people use in such a terrible light, and I was going to make something positive out of it. And the acronym came Because I Am Somebody. I will be prosperous because I am somebody. I will be a phenomenal comedian because I am somebody. People want me to come and stand before them. Because I am somebody was just enough. It didn't matter what I looked like, what, the possessions that I had, and all this other kind of stuff. And I tell people the same way. It does not matter your background, where you came from, what you have going on, where you live, the type of parents you have, the kind of upbringing you have, simply because you are somebody. And not just somebody. You are somebody in Christ. You're royalty. Because I am somebody, I can do whatever it is I decide I want to do. Because whatever you say you can do, you're absolutely right. Whatever you say you cannot do, you're absolutely right. But because I am somebody, I will be all that he said I'll be. We have the BIASMovement.com. It's to empower, to motivate, and to inspire people, to let them know to believe in your dreams, to believe in your abilities, and to pursue, experience joy in every area of your life because you are somebody, and that's how it was created.
Wow, our time is going. We've only got 5 minutes left, but I've got to tell you, I've seen the motivational clips. If you are listening and that is speaking to you and you feel you need that in your life, you definitely want to go ahead and you want to get on that website. You can also find Nikita on Facebook, and it's posted right there on her Facebook page as well. And you can get those motivationals and be inspired to go forth and be your best. And even in terms of what we've talked about tonight, you have a book that's pending and on the way, correct?
Yes, 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 yes. I have a book guys can look out for, and it is Loud Whispers and Silent Cries. And you've heard my life, basically, on here within this hour, so you can about imagine, what it's about. But it's about, suffering in silence, but finding your purpose through your pain. It's the loud whispers. You're not really saying anything, but you're speaking in volumes because you're different. And the silent cries is when you're smiling on the outside, but yet and still when you go home, you're crying blinded tears. So it's the story behind the story. It's talking about the you that nobody knows.
You know, and people can easily underestimate us because they're only used to the you that they see, not the you that no one knows. And who knew that you had all these layers of complexity and insight just laying inside of you? And I can't wait to see what you bring to the world. You're also a coach. Tell us your coach name and how you coach, what you do.
You know what? I keep it simple because I went through, like, the low self-esteem and thing. Everything I do on purpose now. I'm Coach Nikita B. So I tell people I'm a dream architect. Architects build things. And it's not that I'm creating a dream for you, but it's a dream that you have. It's the purpose that's down on the inside of you. I help you believe in your abilities, build your dreams, and experience joy in every area of your life. It's for the ones who are pursuing their purpose. And even when that person doesn't know what their purpose is, I help you discover it and then build on it and pursue. That's the type of coach that I am.
I love it. Thank you so much for being transparent tonight and sharing with us. You have been a real gift and a real pleasure, Nikita.
Thank you so much.
For those of you who are listening, I want to continue to remind you to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you. And so walk in that. Walk in that bias to know that you are able and capable to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you could even think or imagine. So until next time, don't give up and win.
For all the things that you gave to prove your love for me, and the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude, all that I am and there.